Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Having been a parish pastor for 20 years, teaching confirmation to 7th and 8th graders was often one of the joys that I had. There was a question that came up almost every year from the students, and that was this: can someone be a Christian without going to church? Can someone be a Christian without going to church? And one day while we were discussing that in class, we happened to read one of the passages that you'll see in our text here, where it says, "Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together," talking about that. And in that discussion, as I directed the students' attention to that passage in their catechisms, I noticed this one little girl, about 12, 13, sitting right beneath me, suddenly reached down into her backpack and pulled out a yellow highlighter and just scratched up that passage all over and took out another pen and made a star next to it and circled it, and this was going to be a pretty important passage. And after class, she came up to me and she said, "How can I get my mom and dad to start going to church?" And I thought, how sad that a child of that age has to be worried about her parents coming to church. She understood what this text was talking about. Our relationship to God is through His Word. And you can't have a relationship to God apart from a relationship with His Holy Word. That's why the assembling of ourselves together, as we're doing today, and when we go to church, that's why the hearing of God's Word is so absolutely crucial in the lives of the Christian. God has chosen to communicate to people like us through words. He's chosen to do it through a book. He's chosen to do it through your ears, through your hearing, through listening, and through your eyes, through reading and studying. And that's how God has selected to come and visit us. You maybe wish He had done it a different way, and maybe more grand or whatever. Well, fine, but this is the way God has chosen. By the way, He's God, and this is the way that He has selected. And that's why Dr. Martin Luther, at the time of the Reformation, felt it was so crucial to make sure to translate that word into the language that the people of his day could know and understand. It's that Word of God, the gospel itself, that contains the very truth about who we are, that we're all sinful before God. We maybe don't want to think that of ourselves, but God's Word tells us the absolute truth, that if any one of us thinks we have the hope of getting to heaven by how great we are, well, I'm sorry, it's just not going to happen. But that same precious Word of God comes with shedding light on this beautiful truth from heaven that God has sent His Son into the world just for you, just for you. And to go to the cross and to take all of the punishment for the guilt that would have kept you out of heaven, all of that sin that would have kept you out of heaven, God's Son has taken that punishment just for you. And by His resurrection from the dead, not only has declared you to be absolutely forgiven of every sin you've ever done in your life, but through faith in Him, you now have the power over your future grave. And that because of Christ, you will rise again in the great resurrection to everlasting life. And so hearing that word and the precious truth that it brings to us and the faith that it creates in our hearts to realize just how important and valuable our Savior is to us, that is why the author of the Hebrews says, let us encourage each other. Let us not give up assembling to hear that word of God. And he says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. He's talking about the end of your life, which is coming someday. And the point he's making is this: if you think it's important to hear the word of God today, that's true. But it's even more important to hear it tomorrow. And it's more important hearing it today than it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago or 2 years ago. Because the day that you're leaving this life is getting closer, not farther away. It's getting close, and it might even be closer than you think. And so if there's a reason for us to make sure to be listening to this word and assembling to hear it together, it's because we know that day is coming. And God wants us to be ready and prepared, which we are, by hearing his word and trusting in our Lord and Savior. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Christ himself, where his word is present, he is present, not just the way you think about your grandma in Montana. But Christ is present, there am I, when my word is present. He is the word made flesh. St. Paul says about that word of God and why it's so important for us to hear it, because it's the power of God unto salvation. Think about how simple that is. The Holy Scriptures, when they are read and heard, this book, these words, this is how God knows us, how you know God, and how you get to heaven. That's as basic as it gets. Whether you write that in deep doctrinal studies and papers, or whether it's expressed in the words of that little children's hymn, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so," it's the same wonderful truth. And that's why hearing that word is of such absolute necessity. "The words that I give you, they are spirit and they are life," says your Savior. Now, if you're like me, if you want to see just how important the word of God is and hearing that word is in your life, all you have to do is look at your own sinful human nature to realize how valuable it is. Because if you're like me, my old Adam, my sinful human nature, loves to rebel against that word, doesn't want to hear it, can come up with all kinds of excuses why I don't want to study it or listen to it. And there are so many times when my thinking can try to trump what I know the word of God would say whenever I'm being tempted and so on. And even when I'm sitting in church and the new man in me is loving Christ and loving to hear his word and all of that, my old Adam is thinking, "Oh, this is boring. I'd love to be somewhere else right now." You can tell how important God's word is by how much your own sinful flesh hates it. That's how significant it is. Our author writes to the Hebrews that there were some already in the habit of forsaking the word of God. A lot of times we think that these early Christians, man, they got to see the apostles and talk to them. They got to be right on the front edge of all of this brand new explosion of the gospel in the world. Eh, they were already getting tired of it too. I wonder how long the church in Ephesus really lasted, that congregation that loved Christ so much. Or the congregation in Rome that was so strong that Paul wrote to. How long did it take before some of them started forgetting about how precious the way of salvation through Christ alone was? We just sang in that Brorson hymn, "I walk in danger all the way as we go through this life." That's true. But the greatest danger I often face is right here, right in me, right in my own thinking, in my attitude, and in my heart about the Word of God. There's a strange phenomenon that takes place with us human beings in a variety of ways, that the more familiar we are with something, oftentimes the less we appreciate it. The longer we've had something around us and benefited from it, sometimes the less we appreciate it. Sad to say that can happen with how we treat people too. And you can see it in a spoiled child from a very wealthy home. If they've grown up in luxury, they just take it for granted, and they don't appreciate it as much as somebody who suddenly comes to it very sudden in life. Years ago, I was listening to a missionary that had been preaching, and he had been over in one of the previous Soviet states where the walls had now come down, and there was suddenly this explosion of being able to bring Bibles into these Soviet states, and he had been over there handing out Bibles. And he said, he was telling us what this experience had been like, and he said, "I remember one day as I handed out these New Testaments that there were three teenagers that came and grabbed them and they sat down on the curb and started reading them right there. And another lady in that same day grabbed the Bible and started kissing it." But then he asked this question, and this is what really got me. He said, "Can you imagine a single street in the United States where anybody would do that?" You see, the more we've been blessed with having the gospel around us and this precious truth of what Christ has done for us and his holy word, we've got freedom all over to have that and listen to it and read it and study it. Yeah, the easier it is for us to take it for granted. Let us not simply assume that we have the truth. That's a dangerous attitude. The author says, let us hold fast our confession of our hope without wavering. And if you're going to hold on to it, you better know what it is. You better study it. You better take it to heart, or you're going to lose it. That's the way you possess it. If your house is like mine, you've probably got a few items that have been passed down to you from grandparents, great-grandparents, little knickknacks or jewelry or things like that. And your parents and grandparents can pass on things like that to you so that you can have them and possess them. But that is not the way it works when it comes to this faith. That is not the way it works when it comes to this confession. Each individual person and each individual generation has to possess it themselves through the Word of God, through the work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, grabbing onto Christ, loving Him, and cherishing that Word. Then you can say you possess it. It doesn't just get handed to you. May God give you and me, each of us, a renewed zeal and dedication to His Word as we prepare for that great day that is coming in front of us. And with His Word in our hearts and the Savior that it delivers, may our walk be heavenward all the way. Amen. Please rise. And let us pray. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, pour out, we beseech you, your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort them in all temptation. Defend them against all enemies of your word. And bestow upon Christ Church Militant your saving peace. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.